What are we called again? It's been so long. Is it the digital communicator?
We're the four-timer now, I think.
We're delinquent is what we are, because we haven't done this in a year. So we're hoping that this is going to get us back on track.
Back on the wagon.
So we have Amy Shropshire. Shropshire? We should have asked her how to pronounce her name. Yeah. Who's a marketing and communications wizard, who's also one of the core organizers of Drupal GovCon.
Yeah, and she's going to be presenting her one-page marketing plan next month.
Yeah, and we'll put up a link to that in the show notes. And we did something different today. We had a remote guest, which was something new for us, so we weren't drinking beer. And the audio quality was a little bit compromised, but hopefully people can still enjoy it. So if anybody has any thoughts about whether that was a good experience or not, please let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to do more remote ones just because it opens up new guests to be on the show and kind of a different format. So it'd be something I'm interested in doing more of.
All right. Here's Amy. So you've got the degree in, what was it, nonprofit management?
Yes.
And then you've worked, it looks like, at a series of marketing and communication firms, including some time off on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And who are some of the clients that you've worked with?
Probably one of the biggest clients that I've worked with here in the local area has been the Central Ohio Meals on Wheels program. We worked with the Meals on Wheels Project Open Hand, which is a nutrition program for people living with HIV and AIDS, as well as the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. So basically anything that had to do with getting food to people who needed it in the community, as well as national basis, work with National 4-H Council to work on their summer youth programs and expand those out of just being farm kid kind of image that they had.
Mm-hmm. Do a lot of the nonprofits that you work with tend to be locally based and like, you know, boots on the ground kind of organizations?
A lot of them have been. When I was working over in England, I did my master's degree in England and did a lot of work with nonprofits over there. They were a little bit differently set up than the nonprofits over here, where theirs was more awareness, outreach. They usually had a royal sponsor, so having money was not really the main income that they needed. They were more looking about how can we get the services out compared to here trying to have that fundraiser aspect. So there was a little bit of a difference between the two on there.
Well, that's interesting. So what, in terms of priorities, if you could rank them in your clients now, is fundraising usually the number one priority that drives the marketing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then
with the nonprofit field, yes.
Uh-huh. And I understand you're also on the organizing committee for DrupalGov. Sorry.
I am. Yeah. Yep. GovCon. I was involved in the Drupal community as a whole for probably about the past 5 years. And the company I was working for at the time, we couldn't make the national conference, and looked into GovCon because it was fairly close to Columbus. It was something we could get to easily, and because it's affordable, we could be able to go and have that kind of same experience that we would get at DrupalCon.
And so how involved are you now?
I'm the marketing director for GovCon, working with the organizing team to help bring in sponsorships, and working with the then sponsors to make sure they've got everything they need, get everything that they've got on site as well as off site before they get there. And I also kind of help out as they're looking for speaker submissions. I will look for where can we get out the word for speaker submissions? Where can we get out the word for scholarships? We do bring people in under that as well. So while we have our different teams that we work with, I kind of pitch in on some of the smaller areas while focusing on the sponsors.
Wow.
And Amy, I know you mentioned last year there was a big focus in trying to burst the bubble that GovCon was only for people in government or consultants that work with
communities,
and trying to get more of the nonprofit folks in there. Who do you think GovCon would be good for at a nonprofit right now?
Are you talking about specific nonprofits or just in general?
Just in general, do you think it's better for maybe somebody who's technically proficient, or is it good for maybe somebody looking to do that next fundraising campaign? What are the types of people that GovCon would appeal to?
Sure. I think one of the things that is interesting about Drupal and the Drupal community is it's really good for people who maybe don't have that technical background. So, and in my experience of working with nonprofits, a lot of times that you have a skeleton staff. You maybe don't have as large a staff or as much of an expertise in your staff that you'd like. You still have these really, really great ideas that you want to be able to pull off. And so what's nice about the Drupal community is you can come in as somebody who maybe doesn't have those technical skills. So say you're a marketing director or a communications director or even a CEO of a nonprofit who says, I have these really great ideas and things that I want to do, digital outreach or personalization when they come to our website. You can come to one of these Drupal conferences, especially GovCon, and build that community where you've got these technical people and these companies that can help you and learn some of those skills. Drupal has nonprofit modules that you can use. And so sometimes it's just being pointed in that direction and maybe having somebody help you set that up. So I really see that benefit from the non-technical side of people being able to get in there and say, oh, I'd like to do this, but what's my tool? And then somebody there can show it to you and help you set it up.
Well, you mentioned things like nonprofits and corporations and stuff. Why is it called GovCon then? why do I think it's for me called GovCon?
It was kind of a long process where in the government realm, if you want to go to a conference or justify you being at a conference, even though GovCon is free to attend, there was about 20 pages of paperwork that had to be filled out to say, yes, this is related to the job. And frankly, we got tired of filling out 20 pages of paperwork for every attendee who wanted to come. But if there was Gov in the name or government in the name, it made it a lot easier to justify it. So it was purely out of making it a little bit easier on our part there.
What's the history? I remember there was Drupal Camp, and there was a Drupal GovCon prior to merging with Drupal Camp, right? Wasn't there?
It's before my time being in DC, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's Drupal for Gov, which is our local organization, and Drupal for Gov hosts half-day camps throughout the year.
Okay.
And was one of the founding members of Drupal Camp there for government. And so they kind of merged those together, and Drupal for Gov is the actual nonprofit arm. We just got our 503 this year. So Drupal for Gov is the nonprofit arm that runs GovCon.
And how are you guys doing in your fundraising?
We mostly rely on sponsors for our fundraising because we do want to offer the program for free. So we ask our sponsors to give a lot, and they come through for sure. So we're not immune to that as well, that we're trying to get those sponsorships to come through.
So how is the planning coming? Wait, is there about a month left before the conference?
Yes. And we're actually a little bit earlier this year. This is, we've been at the National Institutes of Health for the past several years. And this year, our usual time slot was full. They had another group there. So we're actually going a little bit earlier this year than we normally do. So our planning, we're kind of like, oh gosh, we're coming right up to the end here. We are currently finalizing our speaker list. So we're waiting to get back from our speakers to make sure that they're going to come. And we'll be able to publicize our final speaker list here in probably the next couple of weeks. We already have our scholarship recipients already have submitted, so we'll be able to announce our scholarship recipients as well. And we're rounding up our last few sponsorships to be able to get the sponsorships in there as well. So probably within the next few weeks, we should have everything wrapped up, ready to go, and then just waiting for everyone to show up.
Nothing happens at the last minute. It's all going to be done ahead of time.
It'll all be done ahead of time until the night before, when we will discover there's 10 things that we've forgotten and need to finish that night. So, yeah.
Some storm preventing everybody connecting through Chicago or something.
Yes, so, exactly.
You're presenting too, though, right?
I am. Yeah, this is my first year presenting at GovCon. I've attended 2 years in the past, have been on the organizing board for 2 years, but this is my first year going to be presenting.
And what are you presenting on?
I'm going to do a weekend project. And something quick and easy that people can get into and that I've heard a lot of talk about in my nonprofit consulting days, and that is we're doing a one-page marketing plan. So what I discovered in my consulting days is I would come in, and again, these nonprofits or organizations would have really, really big ideas, but limited time, limited budget, limited staff. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't know how to distill it down into something that could actually get the ball rolling. It was almost like, you know that point where your room is so dirty that you don't know where to start putting everything away? So you just don't.
Brian solves that by just not putting everything away.
It's true.
Just close the door.
Or you shove everything in the closet and don't open the door.
You just bought a label. That's it.
So this presentation is going to be working off of something that I developed for my consulting clients, and that is, how do we take what normally goes into like a 100-page marketing plan and distills it down into one page that's easily actionable and that you can keep up on your desk or put on your wall and update every single day. So it's more like a living, breathing marketing plan than that 100-page document that may get written. And it's great research and it's stuff to do, but then gets set on the shelf and not touched until 2 years later when you're like, we should update our marketing plan. So it's a weekend project, marketing your business in one page.
And so if it's limited, I mean, I could see that being a great exercise for kind of honing, you know, what your core strategy is. Like, you know, what do you really want to get accomplished? But one page does seem a little limiting if you're talking about, hey, we're going to have social marketing and we're going to fix our website and we're going to talk at conferences, you know. So what does that take shape? What does that look like?
A lot of times that just comes down to not limiting yourself to just having the one page, but really prioritization. What do you really want to focus on? Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with that limited time and limited budget, yes, we want to do everything. Yes, we will get to everything eventually. But let's really distill it down. I like to say, let's pick three things. Those are typically what I can fit on this one page. We have some guidelines and we have some things in the process. But then let's pick three things. What are your top three things you want to work on? And then because you haven't put so much time and energy into developing this full-fledged marketing plan, if a week from now you say, you know what, this really isn't my priority, it's not very stressful to be able to swap that out and say, oh no, you know, speaking at this conference is a much better priority than this. But you've got your pieces and your building blocks there, so you can swap them out and move them as you go. If you think of it more as an iterative process, kind of applying Agile or something iterative to marketing, it makes a little bit more sense than trying to build and flesh out this huge marketing plan. When you get halfway through and realize I'm going in a different direction than I thought I needed to, this makes your pivot much easier and much quicker.
How do you help? I'm asking for myself as much as I'm curious now. How do you help nonprofits get through the challenging aspect of identifying audiences? Because I always feel it's like this group, that group, and everybody. And it's always that
everyone
that drives me crazy. How do you have some magic question or way of posing that problem that helps maybe drive that conversation forward? Or is it helpless when you hit that roadblock?
Just so you know, I think that is one of the most frustrating pieces that I run into. So you're not alone in thinking about that. It's like, who do you want to reach? Everyone. Okay. All right. We'll start with everyone. One of the questions I like to ask that really helps them narrow it down is, what is their big fish? What is that one person or one thing? Like, can we distill that down into one persona or one type of person? And they're usually a little bit hesitant to try to move past the everyone. But after a bit of discussion, you can usually glean some knowledge yourself. And then it's kind of just tweaking that and making sure, well, okay, we've got this persona over here, but I really hear you mentioning this aspect a lot. How do we combine that in? And again, I try to keep it between 2 and 3 as far as their target audience, because that's easy and manageable bite-sized chunks. You get any further than that and you again start creeping into everyone type of territory. So I try to explain the Pareto principle. Are we going after 80% of our group? That last 20% is probably going to be beyond our resources that we have. So if we can capture 80% of what we're looking for, then we're probably in pretty good shape. But yeah, I wish there was a magical answer. I've been looking for it because that's one that's really hard to get past.
That's, you can sort of extend that to lots of things, you know, and generalize and say that desire to be inclusive and to broadcast to everybody mucks up a lot of stuff. Because if you say, what do you want your website to look like? You want it to please everybody on board. Or you say, what should our message be? Well, we have to be inclusive, so we don't want to discount anybody. And you end up with, you know, these overly broad things that just don't appeal to anybody in the end.
I heard old anecdote about Looney Tune characters, and I was actually at a local convention over the weekend with a panel talking about superheroes, and the guy there said the same thing. And what was interesting was when he was talking about
this
characters,
is awesome con, by the way.
Yes, so I don't want to know myself as a
maybe
a
you guys should think about incorporating costumes into Drupal.
I'm telling you, it makes it
I just thought I was like typing a cape in our opening ceremony. We haven't written our opening ceremony yet, so this is sparking ideas.
Inflatable T-Rexes are good for a cheap thrill. But, you know, it was...
Tell me more about that.
Just go on Amazon. You'll see. But what's interesting is, as much as a character, as you define what they're about, the old Looney Tunes artists, and again, these were guys who had drawn Batman, and so they were talking about the experience of drawing Batman's utility belt. And they specifically said it wasn't so much what was in the utility belt, but what wouldn't be in there. And that was the Looney Tunes anecdote. It wasn't what Bugs Bunny would do just as much as it was what Bugs Bunny wouldn't do. And so I feel like marketing plans and audiences, it's like, if you're having trouble narrowing it down, it might be easier to say, well, who isn't your audience? Because there's someone out there that's not your audience. If you're a conservation organization, there's people out there that you're not going to convert and you would be wasting your time on. And because you have limited resources, you might want to identify them. And so a general audience saying everybody isn't true. It's everybody, but there are these exclusion groups. And
absolutely.
It's such a painful thing, but that is the only tool I've really found to be effective is like then to come back and say, well, let's approach it differently. Who is not in your audience then? Because it's not everybody. There's only one group that I ever worked with that fought me tooth and nail and said, no, it's everybody. And I don't know what happened to them, but.
So what are some of the other components? So if you've got, you identify your target audience, what else is out there? Is there like a worksheet that you're going to be giving out?
Yeah, I've got a worksheet and I will actually share it with you all as well. So you can share that with your listeners. I kind of start with the guidelines. So I've got an example one that I've done for a client up here. I won't say which client it was, but some of the guidelines we had were be real. We want our communications to be professional, but we want them to sound like a conversation. Another guideline was clever and quirky. And another one, trust your voice. So we wanted to empower because when you're working with nonprofits, you're sometimes working with those more limited staff. And so sometimes you're pulling in people who may not actually be trained in communications or trained in social media and saying, look, we really need you to step in and pull some of your weight in our communications efforts. So we wanted to make sure that everyone at the organization trusted their voice. And so whether they were the receptionist or whether they were the volunteer coordinator, they knew that they could trust their voice to be a part of the marketing efforts for the organization. Mm-hmm. We talk about the process. So listening, promoting, participating, publish, build community, and then building into the process the idea that this is iterative. So while we have a process set up that we want people to follow, keep repeating it, look at it, revise it, realize that failure, in quotation marks, is often a valid outcome. You may think something is going to be wonderful and work, and then it falls flat on its face and you're looking at it going, oh crap, that was horrible. Well, great, you just learned something that didn't work, so move on. And it may work better in a month, You don't know. So it's definitely this iterative process where you want to be looking at it. And then you go into kind of your more tactical ideas. So this marketing plan is less strategic. It gives you the basic for it, but it is definitely a tactical plan where people can start getting those plans off and running so they're not staring at the messy room going, I don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you, when you get down to the tactics, are you specifying like we're going to do this over Facebook or we're going to do some sort of peer-to-peer marketing, having a party at the house or something? Like what? How tactical do you get?
I try to back them up a little bit from that, at least as far as on this plan. When I'm working with places, they'll maybe say, sometimes they're very clear and say, we want to redesign our website. We know we want to do that. So and in that case, we'll start with, okay, one of your big areas you want to put in this plan is website redesign. And from there, we'll look at why do we want to do it? What do we need to know to be able to do this? Who are we talking to? How's it going to happen? What do we do with the answers once we get them? And what is success? I think that's one of the big questions I want to ask on every single one of these is what is success? If we get to define what success is, if we're saying we want click-throughs, that's our success measure. We know what we're going to be measuring on that. For other ones, it maybe isn't so specific as redesign our website. Their goal may be we want to increase donors. So from that part, we're starting with a less tactical aspect on there, which is what's kind of nice about this marketing plan is that it's really customizable. It's got these modules that can kind of slip in and slip out based on what they need, and then you kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. And is it hard keeping these things realistic? Like when they say we want to increase our donor base, do they say by 10,000% or is it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that's where, as a marketer, I don't like to say no. I don't like to say nothing is impossible. I do want to try to rein them in as much as possible and give them some realistic expectations. But I also like to say, let's think big. Give me your dream scenario and we'll whittle it down from there.
So this is something that you're going to walk through ideally with some sort of third party that can kind of be a check and ask the hard questions, and or is this something that the organization could do on their own?
Either way, I've used this a lot of times to be able to put organizations kind of in check and say, you're coming to me with this grand plan, which is awesome. Now let's narrow it down and have some really actionable goals to it. But really, this was made in the nonprofits that I work with. I wanted to be able to come in, help them get started, and then step back. As much as in the consulting, I wanted to be able to have clients, I realized that a lot of these nonprofit organizations really just need somebody to come in, help them get started, and then run with their own resources. Mm-hmm. And so this was really just a way to get them and some people who weren't maybe marketing minded or technically minded to be able to look at some of those things, to be able to prioritize what they wanted to do better.
So, what can we expect at the convention this year? You can still
tickets are for sale.
Yeah,
yeah, they are open. We are one of the few conferences out there that is free. The tickets are absolutely 100% free.
Did you guys sell out last year? I felt like you sold out. Did you sell out?
It was pretty packed.
We did.
Yeah.
And so if people are interested in coming, I would say get in there soon. We've actually had to limit the number of tickets this year. Last year, we sold 1,200, thinking that about 800 would come on any particular day, and all 1,200 came.
Oh, wow.
As did the fire marshal to tell us that we had too many people in the building. Wow. So this year, we are capping the number of tickets to 800, and we are expecting 800 to show up.
Okay. So do you have any idea of, I mean, obviously, people should register ASAP.
ASAP, yes. We do have, like I said, free tickets, and they say there's no such thing as a free lunch except at GovCon because we do offer free lunch to our attendees. We have some amazing sponsors there, and then we have the networking receptions afterwards as well, which are a really great place to not only talk to other people in the industry, but take what has gone on in the sessions apply it, ask some questions. The speakers are out there as well. So you get kind of a second chance to go over some of those sessions.
Mm-hmm. We haven't talked at all about when the conference is. What are the dates?
Yeah, it is July 31st, August 1st, and August 2nd. It's a little bit different from our usual patterns. This is a Monday, a Tuesday, and a Wednesday this year.
Oh, at the beginning of the week. That's just because that's when it's available, I guess?
That's when the National Institutes of Health was available. We also throw out a little thank you to them. They donate the space for us, which Absolutely. Is one of the reasons that we're able to have free tickets. Is they are kind enough to let us use one of their meeting spaces. However, we are looking at switching spaces so that we, as we grow, can fit more people in. We hate to leave NIH because it's been so amazing, but having to turn people away last year just because of space requirements was something we're trying to look forward in the future.
You don't have a lot of options once you get up to that size in DC.
I know.
My last company, we threw a conference, and I remember they had the whole company doing research looking for places. We literally could not, like, the next one was like the Walter E. Reed Convention Center, and I was like, all right, well, I could fit, 10,000 people. But there was kind of this weird space where when you go above 500 and you're under a few thousand, like, you got to make that big jump probably.
Yeah, and it's been one of those kind of growing pain issues where we're like, well, we kind of want to have something for next year in place, but we can't find anything. So do we stay capped at this size and make it an more intimate gathering at 800 or, open it up really wide and go really, really big? So we're still trying to figure that out, but it is exciting to see that many people there. Government folks, nonprofit folks, education, all in one place, technical and non-technical.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing you there and attending your talk. If people want to learn more about the one-page marketing plan or they need some marketing consulting, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. They can give me an email. It's Amy, A-M-Y, at caskcommunications.com. And I will go ahead and send a copy of that plan to you guys as well that you can share with your group.
Oh, I was going to ask, is your session time one of the sessions that's finalized? Can you throw that out there right now?
They have not actually told me when my session time is going to be yet. Yep. I've already told them I can be there, but they haven't given me my details yet.
Got to go all 3 days.
So
I will be there all 3 days. So whenever they send me in.
The final question we like to ask is if there's a nonprofit out there that you feel deserves a little attention and a little love that you'd like to give a shout out to and maybe tell us about the good work that they do.
Oh, absolutely. I have a nonprofit that I have worked for in the past that is especially near and dear to my heart, actually located there in DC, and that is the National 4-H Council. Mm-hmm. And
is that they're up on Connecticut Avenue when you drive out of town? Is that their place?
They are.
Okay.
Yes, that is. I was a 4-H kid growing up, and they really kind of had a formative role in my growing up, teaching me how to budget. My first job was essentially as a 4-H kid, raising animals and learning what it took to take a project through to completion. So when I was a teenager, went to a lot of their youth programs, then became an intern, then ran the intern program. Now I consult for their intern program as well.
Wow.
So they're one that I keep seeing all the good that they do in the community, and it's not just cows and cornfields and farm kids. And so a little bit of a reminder to people that 4-H does a lot more than that.
Okay. Well, maybe they could use a little help with their marketing then to get that message out.
I have tried. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Amy. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Amy.
Great talking to you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.